This is Here and Now. Hillary Clinton is being praised for a strong performance in the Democratic debate this week, but there are new indications that Vice President Joe Biden might get into the presidential race after all, and he'd have to do that pretty soon. There are also new quarterly fundraising totals for the candidates that are leading to questions about the viability of some of the campaigns, including that of Rand Paul. So lots to talk about in the week in campaign news.
Here and Now!
2016.
All right, then. That means that Juana Summers, politics editor for Mashable and former NPR congressional reporter, is here. Hi, Juana.
Hi there.
And we also welcome Rebecca Cinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And start with Joe Biden, because right after the debate, when both the leading candidates, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, did so well, people said, well, that's it for Joe Biden. But now there's more speculation. He, though, is not talking. He played deaf yesterday when NBC's Kristen Welker shouted a question to him. Let's listen.
Have you made your decision yet?
Can't hear you.
So, Juana, let's start there. One of Biden's closest supporters suggested a decision to run could be imminent. CNN is reporting his family is on board. What are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is a lot of silence from Joe Biden's camp. Other than this letter, we've had no public indication whether the vice president plans to get into this race. But as you and I both know, time is, in fact, running out. The end of the month will show up some of those deadlines for filing to be on the ballot in early primary states. There's also a question of just how viable a fundraising operation Joe Biden or any candidate could mount if they get into the race at this late of a date. Yep. So time's running out. Not a lot. Joe Biden's kind of been trolling us all. He said, I think, also that he'd answer the question in Korean to a different reporter who asked him about his intentions. So no.
I don't think he speaks Korean. Yeah, right.
And he didn't.
Well, okay, so if Joe Biden may or may not be getting in, who might be getting out? I want to jump to that because, you know, we're sort of playing musical chairs here. And you've got Rand Paul, who, you know, he did a lot of live streaming at one point. He answered Google questions. He looked so disinterested. Let's listen.
The third question, most popular question from Google is Rand Paul still running for president? And I don't know. I wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So, yes, I still am running for president. Get over it.
Well, I guess after Bernie Sanders swore in the debate, I guess that's a new thing now. You're allowed, and Donald Trump certainly has. Rebecca, do you think Rand Paul is going to last much longer as a candidate?
Look, this is a question he's facing more and more. And, you know, part of that frustration comes from the fact that there is an expectation that he may be the next person to drop out. You know, his campaign sent out a strategy memo this week. And one of the sure moments in politics is a strategy memo almost never comes from a winning campaign. You mostly see them from campaigns that are trying to spin very, very bad numbers. And that's what we're seeing for him. His fundraising was extremely disappointing. That's an understatement. And, you know, it's hard to see where his moment could be, where he could have momentum, but not in any of the states that his father had strong momentum in. Is he managing to get any kind of a foothold?
What about Chris Christie, Juana? He didn't raise much more than Rand Paul in that quarter either.
He didn't either. And you're seeing quite a bit of that, actually. If you get further down the list in Republicans, Chris Christie had a disappointing quarter. Lindsey Graham, a sitting U.S. senator, had a very disappointing quarter. Bobby Jindal, George Pataki, Jim Gilmore. There's this clump of Republicans at the bottom of the pack who need a serious moment, both in terms of fundraising and visibility and getting their names out there, if they hope to stay in this race and actually stay afloat. And I think that we'll see some more action around that, likely around the next debate that CNBC is hosting.
Well, let's talk more about money, because the candidates released their quarterly fundraising totals. Hillary Clinton raised the most, but also spent the most. Bernie Sanders raised almost as much. Boy, he got a lot when he had that line with her in the debate about agreeing with her.
Enough with your damn emails.
Enough with your damn emails. He got so much money on that. Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz came in second and third in the GOP fundraising, almost the same amount. Here's Jeb Bush on CBS this morning talking about that.
It's not a problem. We're just starting. The important race is Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. Then you go into the Super Tuesday states, and we're building an organization in all those places. I feel pretty confident where we are right now.
Rebecca, should he?
Based on what we're hearing from his donors and supporters, he should not, and I'm not sure that he actually is. Look, you know, you're seeing the signs in this fundraising report of a campaign that's losing momentum, has lost momentum. He's languishing in the single digits. It's important to note that while he and Ted Cruz may have been neck and neck in fundraising, at this point, Ted Cruz's campaign actually has more cash on hand than Bush, who, you know, had this shock and awe fundraising campaign over the summer. And we had donors telling us, look, you know, the clock is ticking. He has to have a moment. The poll numbers appear to be hardening. And right now they have him both at the state level and nationally in fourth or fifth place generally.
Well, let's talk about it. Go ahead.
Rebecca is absolutely right. What is also really stunning to me about Jeb Bush's fundraising is that he spent more than 85% of the money that he actually raised over the last 3 months. And when you're talking about somebody who is related to two presidents who had this strong summer, that is not a good sign. And I think that we're going to hear a lot more outward worry from him. Anyway, he said he's going to be tightening his belt, and we'll see if that actually materializes.
Yeah. I want both of you to take a look on the Democratic side. We've got the Benghazi hearings getting underway. Hillary Clinton set to testify next week. The thinking seems to be that she got a huge boost this week from Republican Congressman Richard Hanna of New York. He was talking to WIBX Radio. He became now one of three Republicans to concede that, or two of them
members of Congress, right, and then one Republican staffer.
Right. To say that the congressional investigation into the 2012 attack in Benghazi, Libya, was just to take her down. Let's listen.
This may not be politically correct, but I think that there was a big part of this investigation that was designed to go after people, and an individual, Hillary Clinton.
So, Juana, start there. How much of a boost is that for her?
This is a huge boost. The Hillary Clinton campaign could not have written the scenario better themselves. They have been pushing the storyline for months now that this is simply a political attack to undermine her. And now Republicans are saying it with their own mouths. It's really quite good for her. Add that to the fact that she had a very strong debate performance, and the fact that Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, her chief opponent right now, actually said, you know, we're all tired of hearing about these emails. She is looking pretty good right now. And if she can weather what I'm sure will be a grueling, hours-long grilling by Republicans and Democrats on that committee, I think she could end October quite well for herself.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bernie Sanders, who had a big week this week, not just in the debate, but then he was on Ellen DeGeneres. Let's listen to a little bit of that. He was dancing.
Have you ever been in handcuffs?
Yes. I don't know exactly what you mean by that.
All right.
And then you had Donald Trump going out there and slamming Sanders on some issues, calling him a maniac. Let's listen.
This socialist / communist, okay? Nobody wants to say it.
Now, Rebecca, it did seem like it seems at this point like both of these parties and the candidates are living on different planets on, the Democrats and the Republicans. But my question would be, how does Bernie Sanders shake out in a national race right now? Is he looking like he could actually compete in a general election?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the sense you get from some in the Trump camp is there is some sense, oddly enough, that Trump and Sanders could be competing for some of the same voters.
Isn't that something?
It seems impossible to imagine. But these are two outsider candidates who are pushing back against the political mainstream. And you saw immediately after the debate, the first, you know, web ad from the Trump camp was against Bernie Sanders. So, you know, make what you will of that. It's interesting, of course, to note the momentum after the debate, the Sanders campaign saying it pulled in more than $3 million in less than 2 days following his debate performance. Mm. Of course, almost neck and neck with Hillary Clinton in terms of money raised over the last quarter, and far more of those small donors, which have really come to be critical this year. This was supposed to be the year of the super PAC. More and more, we're seeing that those small donors may matter even more.
Yeah. By the way, I have to jump in and say, we can't leave that hanging, Jeremy. When Bernie Sanders said that he had been in handcuffs, he was referring to being arrested in a civil rights demonstration.
Well, we don't really know what he
meant.
Maybe
there were other
that.
Things, but I just wanted to have sure. said that. And he did, unfortunately, dance on Ellen DeGeneres, which he should not do.
Well, I don't know. I disagree. I think it's nice to watch, you know, people have fun and let loose and
Let the man dance.
Right. You know, the question has been, can Bernie Sanders be funny? And, you know, you heard them laughing.
Yeah,
so.
He was having a good time. Yeah. Now, it's worth noting, the Washington Post points out this morning that if you look back to October 16th of the previous big election years, in 2004, Wesley Clark was in the lead at this point before that election. Hillary Clinton in 2008 and Rudy Giuliani, neither of whom got the nomination in 2008. But in 2012, Mitt Romney at this point. we're still pretty early, Juana.
We are incredibly early, and a lot of the American public actually isn't tuned into this election cycle quite yet, although folks like all of us here having this conversation are constantly glued to it. A lot of people haven't made up their minds. This is still very far remote. We have, what, 13 months left of this campaign yet? So the question really is, the people who we're seeing are the front runners now on both sides of the aisle, can they sustain that rise? Can they keep bringing in the dollars? Are they able to keep the cash on hand that they'd need to build a national organization that can be competitive in the general? And I don't know that we have most of those answers yet when we're looking at most of these nascent campaigns.
Yeah. I think one of the important things, of course, to note is that Sanders' momentum and Sanders' performance may be less important for what it tells us about his odds coming up in the primary season than what it tells us about Hillary Clinton's campaign and her momentum within the Democratic Party.
Well, it's worth noting that there was a serious topic of discussion. John Kasich, the Ohio governor, this week said, you know, that this is like the quarterfinal round of American Idol, and he made fun of what's happening now in the campaigns, but he also supported President Obama in extending the troops in Afghanistan. There were some serious topics that made their way into the conversation.
Yeah, Kasich is definitely going to be one to watch as we get further on and into the next debate. Juana Summers, political editor for Mashable and former NPR reporter, as well as Rebecca Sinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.